Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Jonathan Torres from the Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina. Joining me today are Gordon Mott from Columbus, Ohio, and Dalton Irvin from Victoria, Texas. Before we begin, let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we are going to be talking about beauty. There's a lot I can say about this topic. I can begin maybe with a little philosophical definition, it being a property of being. And when we say that, I mean to say that it is a property of God. So God is beauty himself. He is truth himself. He is goodness himself. Those are kind of the classic transcendentals. And so because God made everything, we say that everything has his fingerprint. As it were. And so everything, because it exists, it comes from God, it is good and true and beautiful itself. We see this in Genesis, right? God saw that it was good. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that definition is very Catholic. I think it's uniquely Catholic because it affirms the goodness, the beauty, the truth in the material world and the created world. Whereas some other non-Catholic Christian sects perhaps have a more maybe dualistic approach to creation. Catholics are really obsessed with the material reality. We see that in our sacramental life, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's really been a rebirth, as it were, with beauty. Ever since, I think with John Paul II, with the new evangelization technology, that's been, really calling us, towards more deepening our spiritual lives, through beauty. And so, you know, I think the classic ways of perhaps coming to the faith, coming to God has been, preaching, right? We hear homilies, we hear the word preached, and I think that this is a path of truth. We see examples from the lives of the saints, right? Or even holy men and women that we know, friends and family, and we say that, you know, their lives are good. And so the truth and goodness, they're paths towards God. But I think recently there's been a move with beauty that has been evangelizing our souls, as it were. I think that's been pushed lately, especially with the new evangelization, with technology, movies, you know, that have been coming out to kind of speak to us in a way that truth and goodness, in a way that's different from truth and goodness. We see this with good art. We see this with beautiful churches, good literature. It's kind of a path of I think it's a strong path. Because it kind of surpasses our intellect. We can't really put up walls in terms of argumentation with truth. Goodness, maybe it's a little easier to just turn away and ignore certain people's lives and stuff. But I think beauty, there's something about beauty that pierces the soul that's really hard to ignore. You know, when you're looking at a sunset, you know, when you're looking at a beautiful church, it's really just hard to ignore that moves your soul. That's kind of the foundation where I want to kind of start with just beauty as an evangelizer. I wanted to start with, just on a personal level, what are some of your experiences of beauty that has maybe moved you, that has maybe, brought you in deeper relationship with God? Were there any books that you read that, you know, helped you meditate on a deeper truth of God, you know, any movies perhaps, even going for walks, you know, beautiful places that you like to visit, churches, anything. I don't know, Dalton, do you have any examples of that?
Yeah, kind of going on off of your suggestion of a book that might have stirred us, a beautiful literature. When I was in eighth grade, we had to read To Kill a Mockingbird for eighth grade English. And something about that experience of reading the book and this coming of age of Scout and Jim and Dill and just the whole plot stirred me deep in my soul. It made me cry as an eighth grade boy, you know, that's, oh gosh, a little embarrassing maybe. But ever since I read that book in eighth grade, that book always comes to my mind when I think of the need to grow, the need to look deep inside of ourselves and see what we're hiding, what we're holding on to, not letting the Lord come into our lives and transform.
Mm-hmm.
And I've reread that book almost every year since eighth grade.
Really?
Because of the beauty. And when we look at something beautiful or experience something beautiful, you experience it in a new way every time, mm-hmm. also, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, more and more, you go deeper. For me, in To Kill a Mockingbird, it's discovering something about myself through these characters in a different way, depending which one's my favorite character that time I read the book.
Right, right.
When you look at a painting, you notice how maybe a brushstroke across the canvas mm-hmm. maybe it's there and it's always been there that way, but you notice it differently.
Yeah.
And it pulls your soul in a certain direction.
Yeah,
that maybe it didn't do before. So
yeah, and I think that's a good way of putting it. Seeing it like in a new way. I think the best art, specifically literature, I'm thinking from a literary standpoint, it tells us things that we already know, but from a different perspective. That's I think what the best literature does. It talks about human nature, you know, and we experience that on a regular basis. You know, we interact with, you know, people all the time. And I think literature just highlights certain aspects of, you know, whether it be human nature or, you know, truth and, you know, topics like hope and fighting and, you know, virtue. I think literature is highlights these things in a very specific way that, you know, philosophical treatises might not mm-hmm. Do it. So, Gordon, I don't know if you had any examples in your life of beauty touching your soul, as it were?
Well, I mean, certainly I'm with Dalton on site. I think that Atticus Finch is one of the greatest characters in American literature. I mean, hands down. But when I think of beauty in literature, you know, when I was in high school, I was really influenced reading Henry David Thoreau. There's a particular essay that he wrote called Life Without Principle. And what he's talking about essentially is a well-lived life and mourning the lack of depth in conversation and in thought and the lack of our willingness to give ourselves time to really just think and let things pierce into us. And that was such a novel thing for me at the time. And then, you know, I wind up getting into like David Foster Wallace, mm-hmm. Who kind of brought a resurgence to this kind of thought in modern American literature, I think. But also there's a book that really influenced me called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And it's not about Zen and it's not about motorcycle repair. It's really a story about a guy taking a cross-country trip, trying to reconnect with his son. And he's wrestling with this idea of knowledge versus understanding. And really what he's trying to do is talk about beauty and recognizing the thing that's compelling in another that comes from deep in a way that isn't really easy to wrap your head around. And such a good book. And then like The Hagakure by Yamamoto Tsunetomo, who was a samurai. And, you know, well, what does samurai have to do with beauty? But like, there's an entire section that talks about flower gazing of all things mm-hmm. and its importance in Japanese culture at the time. And we think, oh, well, you know, flower gazing, like, you know, in America, we like well architected flower gardens and we want to see this kind of flower here and this kind of flower here and this kind of flower here. But, you know, Yamamoto Sumitomo, he's talking about, you know, valuing not just the flowers, but the variety of flowers and the temporarity of the thing, and valuing things that are passing. And that even pervades now into modern Japanese culture, where they have these big cherry blossom festivals to, you know, celebrate the beauty that's temporary. And so, yeah, I mean, there's so much in good literature that really makes a compelling, like, you know, it's almost like you read these things and then you're pierced a little bit.
Yeah,
like, whoa, wait. You know, and that's when you know you've come across a great book.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you're getting a little ahead of me there because I want to talk about, that's good. And you're pacing me. That's good. I want to talk about being pierced by beauty and what that exactly means. We talk about like beauty as like a sword. And so a little bit, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But just on my end, literature for me has always been a big part of my life. One of the greatest pieces of literature for me has been Dante's Divine Comedy. And I studied that in college. And it was really, I attribute that work as really reverting me back to the Catholic faith. It was, I've always grown up with the faith. I come from a really good Catholic family. But I don't think I've ever made it my own until I went off to college. And it was in reading Dante, seeing how he had been pierced by beauty in the figure of Beatrice, his kind of the woman of the muse, as it were, the woman that kind of struck him to think of beauty and then write the Divine Comedy. He wrote of the Catholic faith like no other writer had ever written, I think even since. I mean, you know, it's been over 700 years, and I don't think there's a rivaling writer that speaks of the faith that beautifully. And for me, it really it shifted my perspective of the faith, of what it could be. The way he wrote, the romantic view, going from hell to purgatory to heaven, it struck me as Dalton was saying, it was a new perspective on something that had become ordinary to me, which was the faith. And so Dante has been a big influence for me. Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien was a devout Catholic, and that really shines through his work. You see, you know, there's no mention of Christ or the church in his fantasy work, but he does say that it's a deeply religious piece of literature because it speaks of things like virtue, you know, heroic sacrifice, friendship, the sacramentality even of the world that they live in. His understanding of good and evil is very Catholic. And so I think, you know, in works like Lord of the Rings, in Dante's Divine Comedy, C.S. Lewis, we have these great vehicles almost to the faith that are reaching people that typically want to shut their minds off to the faith. Yeah. I think in literature, in good literature, there's so many traces of truth, kind of sugar-coated with beauty, as it were. And we see that in the Gospels. Jesus, you know, finds his the way to reach the people the best way is through stories.
Yeah.
You know, if Christ deems it fitting to teach the people with stories, then I think that shows something about, you know, the weight of storytelling and that beauty that lies there. You know, I was thinking about this topic a little bit. I thought about some practical things to kind of let our souls be pierced by beauty. And so I was thinking about some of the obstacles to experiencing beauty. We live in a very rapid age, filled with technology, filled with noise. And so I was thinking how these things can be kind of like roadblocks to experiencing the beautiful. Especially, I think, the sin of sloth, which is, it's not just laziness, you know, as we know, it's more of a indifference towards spiritual goods. We grow complacent and comfortable in our spiritual lives, and then that's when we start to fall into the sin of sloth. And I think that that's exactly the opposite of what beauty does, which is discomforts us. Beauty should, we speak of beauty as Gordon said, piercing, because it moves us. It's moving us to the divine. It's like a flame. You put your hand over it, and you that pain that you experience is telling you to move somewhere. And I think beauty is like that. So yeah, Gordon.
Well, I think a great example of what you're talking about is so there's a painter most of us have seen, but maybe don't necessarily recognize that we've seen, and it's Michelangelo Caravaggio. Mm-hmm. And so if you mentally picture a painting of Doubting Thomas, I almost guarantee you in 90% of cases, you're picturing his painting. And at the time, you know, against the backdrop of the Renaissance, there was this expectation that beauty was simply that which was aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. And that's not beauty. That's nice, or that's novelty. And so Caravaggio was hugely controversial purely because he chose to use ordinary street people as models in his paintings. And these paintings are just so undeniably beautiful that if you really allow yourself to contemplate them, I mean, there's no way you don't feel that sense of being pierced. Mm-hmm. And that was precisely what people didn't like about him and his style of painting at the time is, well, wait a minute, how dare you make me think of ordinary,
right.
You know, as extraordinary.
Yeah.
And that's where great art again is. Like it's controversial, whether that be literature or, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Jonathan Torres from the Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina. Joining me are Gordon Mott from Columbus, Ohio, and Dalton Irvin from Victoria, Texas. So we've been talking about beauty for a little bit, we just kind of been throwing around ideas, you know, our favorite works of literature and maybe art. We haven't gotten too much into other art aside from literature. I don't know. We were just talking about how beauty can be obtrusive mm-hmm. in one's life, piercing, and something that's truly beautiful can actually disturb us. And I think being disturbed and discomforted is a good thing if we're going to move towards perfection. We kind of need that little nudge. And I think one of the greatest, I think beauty is not only an evangelizer to our souls, but it also works as, I think, a way to believe in God, too. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people can, you know, if a lot of people want to reduce the world to a material reality, fine. But then how are you going to explain how you feel when there's a sunset, you know, or when you're in love with another person? Like those feelings of beauty that well up inside of us can't be reduced to a material reality. And so I think it's a great way to, like, as I said before, it's powerful enough to just lead you to God, to where truth and goodness maybe perhaps are just different ways. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on that or.
I really liked what Gordon was saying about the making uncomfortable and then Jonathan, how you were talking about that, them pulling us towards the Lord and beauty as being the thumbprint of God, mm-hmm. as you mentioned at the beginning of the show. And it puts my mind on this painting that I was given as I was leaving a parish in the August of 2018. There's this artist in he's from Peru, and they sell his artwork in San Antonio, Texas. And it's this Peruvian art style called the Cusquinian School. And it's a bridge between European art and then the indigenous style of ornamentation and flowers and landscaping. And the painting I was given to me because it made the wife of the man who bought it so very uncomfortable. And I said I liked it. And it's of the Blessed Mother breastfeeding the infant Jesus. And it interested me that it, I mean, because it makes me a little uncomfortable too, you know, to think of our Blessed Mother. Breastfeeding is not, I think, most people's place to go with their mm-hmm. mind. But when you meditate upon this painting and of the Christ child being nourished by Mary, it draws you into contemplating Christological realities, mm-hmm. truths about Christ and his humanity, that material God becoming flesh, one of us,
yeah,
his connection to his mother
mm-hmm.
Who nourished him. So then now you have Mariology coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just makes you stand in awe at God's masterful plan of salvation for us.
Yeah.
You know? And just as you were talking, that's I couldn't quit thinking about that. A little uncomfortable image of Mary breastfeeding the infant Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a great way to go with that, right? Because we have these venues by which to really be able to be pierced by this concept of beauty that you don't have to go to an art gallery, right? Like, like when you hold your first child, and as a matter of fact, there's so much depth to be found in that, you know, St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote a beautiful book called On the Incarnation, Birth and Infancy of Our Lord, who really plumbed the depth of the beauty of contemplating our Lord's infancy, particularly in his need to be nursed. And there's value even in that, you know, in plumbing that out, because, you know, if you look at, you know, the revelation of God's beauty through creation and through, you know, say, for example, infancy. So there's a song that comes to a lot of people's minds when they think of, you know, popular romantic comedies called Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder.
Mm.
And that's not what the song is about. It's not about coming across a beautiful woman. Stevie Wonder, when he held his baby girl for the first time, was so profoundly moved that he composed an entire album out of that one experience called Songs in the Key of Life.
Yeah.
And that song, when you listen to it on the album, has 3 minutes of just the baby crying.
Right.
You know, because he was so struck by the beauty of it.
Right, right. No, and that's a great, that example, I think, is really archetypal, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of what beauty can lead you towards. And I think in the artist's life, it leads you to producing more art. The more you experience beauty, the more you produce art. And I think that we can even relate that to us non-artists. You know, when we experience beauty, we make a work of art of our lives. And we live better lives because of it. I think it was JP2 who said that we're all entrusted in crafting the greatest work of art, which is a well-lived life.
Yeah.
And so, but Dalton, I liked what you were saying about, you know, looking at a work of art and it leading towards contemplation. And I think that that's exactly it. That's the way to think about art, is a window into the transcendent.
I think.
So, and I think, you know, it's odd when you look at people, you know, at art galleries or museums, you know, they're just there kind of, you know, walking around and gazing at these works of art. And these artworks are, you know, millions of dollars. Like, mm-hmm. why are they millions of dollars? It's just a little oil on canvas, you know? But beauty is always more than the sum of its parts.
Of course.
And I think it is that sense of looking into the transcendent. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, you mentioned Caravaggio, mm-hmm. Fra Angelico. These are sacred works of art that speak to something that's beyond of what the pigments can show.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head earlier talking about the need to slow down, right? Mm-hmm. I remember growing up, we didn't have a museum where I grew up, but you'd see them in movies, someone just sitting on a bench staring at a painting in a museum.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was so strange to me. Mm-hmm. Like, why would someone waste so much time that
way? Yeah.
Or people who are sitting in the recliner for hours,
right,
engulfed in a book. And as soon as they finish it, they pick up another book and start.
Yeah, yeah.
Made no sense to me.
Right.
But now when you experience beauty in book or on a canvas or in a movie even,
mm-hmm.
You have to leave, in a sense, leave this world behind to experience the thumbprint of God in that beautiful.
Right.
So setting the phone down, not being worried about the next task.
Yeah.
God calls us to experience himself in beauty.
Yeah.
But I think so often we busy ourselves so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not even on purpose.
Yeah.
But that we miss it all.
Yeah. It's all around us. And the fact that we, you know, we're blind to it is sad, but it's really a product of our busy, information filled lives. And I think that, it, you know, on a practical level, just to step away from the noise a little bit and deepen one's soul to be aware of beauty around you, is absolutely, I think, essential for a fulfilling life. And that's what, you know, so many saints have talked about, the value of silence, you know, and in prayer. Your soul deepens so that it can, so that even when you step outside of prayer, you know, outside of a church, you're aware of God's presence constantly, in the nature around you. And speaking of churches, we have, the Catholicism, I think, is the great arbiter of beauty, with all the sacred art that she promulgates, in our sacramental life. Mm-hmm. We're not just souls that float around, right? We're we have bodies, and I think art especially speaks to that material reality of the spiritual, like the connection between the two. So yeah, I think that that's a show. So
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's time to end. So let's end with a prayer. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,